And as Pat was saying earlier, we're going to do a little different service today, okay? We have three people that are going to be sharing a God sighting. And some of you guys might be saying, what's a God sighting? A God sighting is simply where they see God at work in their life. It's kind of a testimony. So we have three women that are going to be sharing throughout the service about a God sighting and how God has really touched them or what they've seen. And the three people are going to be sharing is Rosa Wright, Doreen Mayer, and Tracy Deacon. And now I'm going to introduce you. Sophie Ryan will be doing a scripture verse for her mom, and then we will have Rosa Wright be sharing afterwards.
A reading from James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective.
Good morning. I'm Rosa. Most of you know me. If you don't, maybe you've seen me. And you know that I talk to just about everyone. But strangely enough, I'm really an introvert. I'm an agent of touch far more than speech. And I trust almost no one. I went to school, even more strangely, for public and persuasive speaking. But that's not who I am. I put it on like a coat. It's a facade. I put it on when I go into public, when I go to work. I truly prefer to be home, the quietness of not being expected to speak. So much so that I have withdrawn myself from people several times in my life. Other than the people in my family, I'm troubled sharing anything about myself that is raw or maybe the authentic Rosa. I have so much trouble trusting others. When I do share about myself, it's almost always surface or little value. I have a fair command of humor, so I can hide loneliness and mask pain. And that has made my life a very lonely place. And sometimes loneliness can make the 12 hours of a day seem like a week. And nighttime is dark, beyond dark, where you talk to God just waiting for the light to come back. Loneliness is a dark space. Sometimes Christ is the only light in that kind of darkness. Being vulnerable to others has been a hard, cold experience for me. I have been alone in a group my whole life. I have 10 brothers and sisters, many family members and friends. My trust has grown with my children and my husband. They have surrounded me with love, kindness, and yet still, I don't have common ground with them. About 3 years ago, this church was doing a Bible study, and the church leadership really impressed on us how important it is to go through that particular study with a small group. Reluctantly, really reluctantly, I agreed to join the group for that one study. They weren't getting an extra day. That was going to be it. It was about 2 weeks before I went to the small group, and I had anxiety about it, and I almost didn't go. I have a skeptical perspective on small groups. Why should I join a group of people who would most certainly be judgmental, twist my words, gossip, and be just another hurdle in my life? I felt I was blessed. My son is studying religion. Doug Scalise lives right down the road. So if I needed help with scripture, after all, why couldn't I just call them? I mean, that is what they were called for in their study, right? Biblical scholars. I felt, why should I need a small group? Fast forward to the first meeting. I almost flaked out on them, but the Holy Spirit dragged me there, almost kicking and screaming. Donna Potter opened the door with the most beautiful smile and bluest eyes of grace. And since then, these wonderful 10 women have been my counsel, my confidant, my pastors, and my common ground. I finally found it. Something I had never experienced before. I remember hearing Tracy Deegan talking to someone, and I overheard it. What we share here is ours. It's private. I'm not sure if she heard me, but I knew she meant it. It took me 5 meetings with them, 2 hours at a time, to truly share an intimate part of myself. And I told it to them apologetically. And Sunny Sailor twisted around in her chair and said, "What makes you think we haven't been all through that? We've all done that." And the floodgates opened, and perhaps to this day they thought they wish the gate was a little smaller. All these wonderful, special moments later, I have stories of how each one of them have touched my life. We're learning about God, the Father, the Christ, the Holy Spirit, and each other together. I'm not lonely anymore, and I can count on them, and they can count on me. Small groups are so important. If you're not in one, don't be arrogant like me. Call a church office, find a small group opening, and grow toward God with them. Serve God with them. I learned I can trust people, I can love people, and I can allow people to love me. I'm a better person, and they're part of my journey till I'm called home. Ask for a small group. Let the church help you. Attend regularly and give it a little time, and you'll feel God draw near. He'll change your life. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Doreen Mayer. And this past year did not begin very well for me spiritually. In case you missed the sermon series this summer, anger is not a fruit of the Spirit. As 2019 began, I was the volunteer spiritual formation core ministry leader here at Brewster Baptist. That meant I was overseeing the adult education opportunities, including the small groups that rose in. I do recommend small groups. I was angry and frustrated and continued to be disappointed by words spoken, situations, and people's decisions. I was very aware of my emotions. I'm not one to dwell in negativity, so I knew this lasting, festering anger was something I needed to work through and get past, because it wasn't going away. I prayed about it quite often and tried to work through it, but it continued to linger and even intensify at times. According to my journal, on December 31st, God put Matthew chapter 7 on my heart. This is just part of a prayer that I wrote in my journal in response. "God, I'm sorry for my shortcomings, my doubt, my judging and seeing the speck in others' eyes. Lord, transform me so that I can take the plank out of my own eye and walk your narrow path and bear good fruit for all to witness your glory." You see, I asked God for transformation right at the beginning of the year. God responded, because as Rosa said, when you take one step toward God, He envelops us in His love that we cannot even comprehend. I was reminded 2 weeks ago by my sister friend Joan about the caterpillar that wraps itself in a cocoon. In a short, just a matter of days later, a beautiful butterfly emerges with paper-thin wings to all God's glory. I have found my transformation process not that quick. Mine is more like watching a tree grow. In February, when I returned to my second year of the TABCOM School of Ministry, of which I'm enrolled, this was the year of communication. And I was not looking forward to this year because I knew that we had to prepare and deliver a minimum of 5 sermons during our summer break. We also had to prepare mock memorial services, baptisms, and weddings, and present them to the class, all of which I was certain is not in my future. That first weekend of class, I was assigned Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'll read it for you at the end of my little testimony. But it became quite a scripture for the whole year. So this was to be the first scripture which I was to prepare a 10-minute sermon and present it to the class. So I met with Doug, of course, seeking his guidance. I would be a fool not to, right? And the first thing he told me is that I should try my best to memorize the scripture of what I was preaching. And I thought, oh, great. Now I get to memorize scripture, right? So that same day, Doug and I had a general conversation about being to the mountaintop and feeling God's love and joy, and then having to come down off the mountain and deal with people. I came away with a new book Doug gave me to read. It's called The Wisdom of the Desert Fathers and Mothers. My takeaway at that time was, if you feel the need to exchange evil for evil, walk away and keep your mouth shut. And I found that was what I needed to hear. In early April, I was sitting at my kitchen table trying to prepare a second sermon for my class. And I could tell that my deep-rooted anger was blocking me from writing anything that had meaning, which made me more angry and frustrated, of course. So I remember throwing my pencil down and slumping on the table, and out loud, I said, God, what is my problem? Why am I so angry? And I heard the voice, ever so soft, why are you so angry? And I shot back, because I care. And the voice in love, because you care? Me exasperated, because I care too much. The voice, because you care too much? I was really agitated by then. But looking back, you know, you can laugh and say that's what it must have been talking to Jesus, right? Because every time the disciples asked him a question, he answered with another question, right? Isn't that maddening? So I said, God, please, just tell me what I need to do to get through this. The voice answered. It said, what must die in you that you may live? Let me repeat that for us again. What must die in you that we may live? I immediately had a vision of Jesus on the cross. The next few days, I dove into my Julian of Norwich books. And Julian of Norwich is an English woman who experienced visions related to the crucifixion of Jesus. She wrote about her visions and tried to put into words its true meaning, which I believe surpasses our comprehension. My journal from June 3rd reads, I'm digging deep these days for answers. My tongue is glued to the roof of my mouth. Proverbs 3, verse 5 caught my eye at church this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. It was about this time I began retreating to the desert. I was searching for answers. I met with Doug in early June, and I told him that I had to walk away from my responsibilities here at the church. He tried to ask, but I shut him out, and I just said, I have nothing positive to say, so I'm not going to say anything at all. My mother's words, right? Fast forward to November, like the speed of a tree growing. This renewing of my mind and transformation has been slow. I spent the past 5 months, each Sunday, forcing myself. To enter this church building, I was very uncomfortable, and my tongue was glued to the roof of my mouth. If anyone spoke to me, I did a lot of nodding. I made it through the year of communication for my ministry class. I'm very grateful to have had that opportunity to deliver a sermon up in Lowell, Massachusetts, and the whole process of preparing that sermon turned out to be a very meaningful task for me. So slowly, just in these past couple weeks, I've begun to emerge from the desert, realizing that I can't stay there forever. God has given me spiritual gifts that I am to use to glorify God. I also need to share with you that Despite this challenging spiritual journey, I have experienced great joy along the way. I am so very grateful for the love and support of my husband, John, and my two silly children, Joe and Elizabeth. And then there are the angels who surrounded me. You know who you are, and I am very grateful. Therefore, brothers and sisters, if the praise team would come forward. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Conform no longer to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to discern God's will, God's holy, pleasing, and perfect will. Glory be.
Good morning. There's a lot of you here today. I'm going to start with a verse, John 13:7. Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Good morning. My name is Tracy Deegan. I am a wife, a mother, a daughter and sister and aunt, a friend, a teacher, an oyster farmer, a wedding planner and manager, and in May, I'll become a mother-in-law. But laying over all these roles, I am a Christian. I have not always freely identified myself as such. Oh, I grew up going to church, Sunday school, and even the occasional Bible camp. And I knew that there was this being named God, and I believed in him, but I wasn't in relationship with him, and I did not fully identify myself as a Christian. A churchgoer? Yeah. But a Christian? Too committed, and probably not the image I wanted to portray. After all, everyone knew church people were not cool and fun, and that is definitely how I saw myself. But God had a plan for me, as he does for each of us, and he was patient and knew just how he was going to be planting my feet on a lifelong path of commitment and faith. It was when I had children that it all began. When we got Tanner, my youngest of two children, christened at a church in Harwich, the minister there told me the christening only protected my daughter until she was old enough to make choices, and then it was up to me to bring her to church and let her know God, or it was basically null and void. That scared me. I looked around a bit and found BBC and started attending within the year. Eventually, I started teaching Sunday school, and my husband faithfully dropped my kids off after I attended the first service so that they could attend Sunday school as well. I remember when they were about 4 and 7, being in the BBC float in the Brewster and Bloom Parade. Dressed as angels, they were to ride in the truck, and I was going to walk alongside. No big deal, I thought. It is for my kids, and no one will even really see me. But then when I arrived, I was asked to carry the banner. I still remember to this day the initial feeling of panic when I thought, everyone is going to know I go to church and think differently of me. But I did it. The verses from Mark 9:36-37 come to mind. He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Shortly after that, my mother asked me to attend a class at BBC with her for people on their spiritual journey. I said okay, telling myself I was just going to support for my mom. It was not really for me, but God was ready with the next level of hooking me in. After the dinner, when we broke into our groups, my mother and I were separated. My mom was placed in a very quiet and gentle group, and I was put into a quite rowdy and boisterous group. On the way home, my mom described her experience, which she loved, and asked if I wanted to see if I could be switched into her group. But I decided I was going to stay with my people. My mom's description sounded too much like the stereotype church people I was trying to avoid. But mine were actually kind of cool. I had Nancy Svedin, the Morrows, the Ritters, and the Lindquists in my group. So you know it was quite boisterous and rowdy. Maybe being identified with a church was not a bad thing I was starting to realize. Maybe it was okay for people to know you were a churchgoer. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." I felt I was finally firmly on a path of faith. Maybe I was only on a tricycle riding down the path, and I could still see the beginning of the path when I looked back, but I was definitely on my way. At this point, God knew he had me, and he moved in quickly with the next move. He put me into a small group of women led by Donna Potter. I was a bit hesitant at first. I was not going to pray out loud with strangers. I was not going to share my shortcomings and struggles. I was not going to change my ways in life. But I would give it a try. I went to my first meeting, and I was hooked. Here was a group of women just like me. They had families. They had jobs. They were successful and driven. They had shortcomings and struggles. They loved to have fun, and they were active socially. They were a group where you could come and let your true inner self be seen, and they continued to love you anyway. As a matter of fact, each week it seemed as if they loved you more. Before I knew it, my life did change. I realized I had somewhere along the way developed a real relationship with God, with Jesus. I thought of him every day as I thought throughout the day of my family. I started beginning each morning in prayer and found random Bible verses popping into mind throughout the day. Song of Songs 8:13 says, "You who dwell in the gardens with friends in attendance, let me hear your voice." Well, I was in a garden with friends, and our voices were definitely being heard. We laughed at ourselves together for not measuring up to the Proverbs 3:16 women, and we agonized over realizing our arrogance going into the Ten Commandments study, thinking we had that one nailed. How humbled we became when we realized we were actually guilty in various degrees of offenses for everyone. The Bible and prayer became more and more a daily fabric of my life and being, and I realized when I paused and looked back, I could no longer see the beginning of my faith path in the distance. I also no longer felt like I was pedaling away on a tricycle going slow, but instead whizzing along on a 10-speed bike. I now realize that God will never be through with bringing me deeper. This fall, I was asked to serve on the pastoral search committee. I never answered the first time I was asked, gave a half-hearted, "I'll think about it" the second time, but felt the third time I was asked that I was supposed to say yes. So I did, but with a lot of thoughts of doubt. What did I know about choosing a new pastor? I didn't even know some of the people on the team, and surely I would not have any insights not already presented. But God knew what he was doing, and he knew just what I needed. He placed me on a team that became family quickly, a team that I laughed a lot with and got to know each one personally. I truly felt for maybe the first time that I was serving as a body of Christ, with each person handpicked for the gifts God had given them. All I had to do was my little part and join with the others. Something amazing happened. That is an experience I will always cherish. My path is not always straight, and sometimes I stray off, but I know that God is there to guide me back, sometimes gently and sometimes with a little more force. And I know without doubt that when I stop and pause, when I turn my attention upwards, when I look inwards in prayer, God will set my feet firmly back on the path and my journey continues. I love the verse from Matthew 17:20. He replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Some days I am squarely in the middle of the path. My faith is as big as a mountain. And some days I find I have strayed off into the underbrush and brambles along the side, and I hold tight to that tiny mustard seed. I am grateful for my faith, for my relationship with God, for my journey and the challenges and rewards it brings. I am grateful for how my life has changed and how God helps me look for ways to make myself better in his name. I don't know what is ahead on the twisty, turny path of faith, but I am excited to see, and I am no longer hesitant to let people know who I am. My name is Tracy Deegan, and I am a Christian.
I want to thank every one of the three people that came forward and just was transparent and being open about their lives. It's difficult to do. And even though that each one of us, we are on our own journey, and God is drawing us closer, we will meet times where we will need to rely upon him and to pray and to walk by faith. And each one of these people, they are doing that. And each person in this room is doing that as well. And that's something that we need to continuously walk closer and be with Christ.